Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of May 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll hear the beginnings of Commodity Week, and then if you can stay with us throughout the whole hour, the whole of that program. Otherwise, you can visit us online at willag.org and hear our program, including our panelists this week, Ellen Dearden, Bill Gentry, and Glenn Ring. Oh, and at the bottom of this half hour, we'll talk about the weather forecast to that with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Friday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit today. July contract up 4.5 cents at $4.12¾. September at $4.14¼, up 3¾ of a cent. December corn up 3¾ at $4.13½. March at $4.20, up 3½. July soybeans at $10.86½, 6¾ higher. September $10.67½, up 5¾. November at $10.56¼, up 5¾. In January, bean 7 higher at $10.54. Bean oil, 44 cents higher. Bean meal, down $7 even. Wheat futures, soft red. July at 481.5, up a quarter. The hard red at 459¾, down 2.5 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the June at $119.70, up 77.5 cents. The August feeder cattle at $146.47½, $1.07½ higher. And June lean hogs for the day at $80.45, a dime lower. In some of the outside markets, nearby crude oil at $49.30 a barrel, down 18 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.65¾. That's a penny and a half higher. Gasoline on the wholesale price at $1.63 even, a penny and a tenth higher. And diesel fuel at $1.49¾. That's heating oil, down 0.7 cents. Natural gas at $2.16¢, a penny and a half higher for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,827 is up 10 points. U.S. dollar at 95.735 is 0.573 higher. And gold futures, $1,270.90, are down $12.50. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist for the Illinois State Water Survey at the University of Illinois Prairie Research Institute. It felt like summer with a warm week, high humidity levels, and scattered thunderstorms throughout Illinois. Temperatures were running 3.4 degrees below normal or above normal. Rainfall was generally less than 0.5 inch across most of Illinois, and it was a little wetter in the northeast and southeast corners of the state. The entire month of May is still running 2.22 degrees below normal, while the statewide average rainfall is near normal at 3.6 inches. According to the National Weather Service, the highs for the Memorial Day weekend should be in the low to mid 80s across Illinois, with nighttime lows in the low 60s. We can expect high humidity and about a 30 to 40% chance of rain on Saturday and Sunday, especially in the north. Things look drier for Monday before more rain is expected for the rest of the week. Highs will be in the low to mid 80s and the lows in the low 60s for the remainder of the week. Potential rainfall totals for the week as a whole are about 1 to 2 inches. However, rains will be very localized, with some areas getting a lot more and other areas getting a lot less. According to the 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecast, Illinois temperatures are expected to moderate a little next week, but there's an increased chance of being wetter than normal. Have a happy and safe Memorial Day weekend. This is state climatologist Jim Angel.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Well, on this Friday afternoon, let's take some time now to talk a little bit about what's been happening in the marketplace. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello, Todd, and happy Memorial Day weekend to you and all of our great listeners out there.
Well, thank you so very much. You know, it was a good day, actually a pretty good week for the marketplace. What was your assessment?
Well, certainly, I think the wet weather coming into the noontime GFS models helped the Friday trade, especially after lunchtime, because before that, the drier morning models really kind of kept the bulls contained. It was interesting for the corn, especially, because we had reports of a sale to China in corn of 130,000 metric tons for this marketing year, the 15-16 marketing year. But then about an hour or so later, the USDA changed that to unknown destinations. I think between that and then the wetter midday models, this is why we were able to see the July corn beat everybody else out there, closing up about 4.7% on the week, making a 10-month high in the July futures. Early in the week, we had the meal rally that ignited the markets, but really Thursday and Friday was pretty much all about the corn, and I think mostly about the corn from a standpoint of the United States demand and United States weather. We still really aren't talking much about the 2012 drought-like situation in Brazil at this point. Maybe the market put together, you know, put one and one together and said two when they saw that the Chinese might be buying our corn. Maybe they realized that there is not a lot of corn out there in the world except from the United States.
Does this bode well for after the holiday weekend? Because sometimes holiday weekends are a point in change in the marketplace.
You're right. It's a very volatile weekend. And in fact, I went back the last 9 years, went back to about 2007, the last time we really had the sharp move up. And for the December corn, six out of the last 9 years, the June monthly close was lower than the May monthly close. And for beans, it was only four out of the last 9 years that the June closed lower than the May. And so I think that's probably going to be something to really watch here, that we are, I think, in the crude oil, in the soybeans, in the meal, in the sugar, we really are at price levels. I think we need to start asking ourselves, how much more can the global economy handle if these prices go any higher? Because we just aren't that strong to handle higher commodity prices. I still think wheat and corn are low enough that they probably are not caught up in that, except for the gasoline. You know, the two best things that's happened to the gasoline market is the lower prices, and that's stimulated a demand over the blend wall. The other thing is just the longer TSA lines at airports. I think we're starting to see a lot more driving just because of how hard it is to travel by air. But even so, we're seeing the gas prices spike like we really normally do on Memorial Day weekend. I think that is somewhat concerning to the ethanol demand. So to answer your question, I don't think we're there yet in corn. I do have another hedge recommendation out between 415 and 430 on new crop to get up to 50% of insured bushels. But I'm not really pressing it hard at this point because we have seen such a dramatic shift in the supply down in Brazil and States.
Are there any cues that we can find in the energies in the crude oil or in the U.S. dollar that you've been watching carefully?
I think more so in the meal and more so in the beans. In fact, the Brazilian real was probably the weakest currency out there today and is in no small part, I don't think, because of the speech that Janet Yellen was giving at a university function. The dollar spiked and we're at the highest level in the index since early March time period, if memory serves me right. And so I think this goes back and wraps around what's going on in the global economy, Todd. If we don't keep the dollar contained, it will hurt us in the wheat. And I think that then comes back around and limits the upside in the corn. I don't think it makes the corn a negative feature yet because we haven't priced in a low enough acreage number or a low enough yield number. In other words, a low enough U.S. carryover number or a low enough Brazilian carryover number. But at some point, i.e. overvalues around 460 for me, December futures, you get up into those price levels, I think you really are getting into the top end price level, especially if you don't see the dollar weakening and you see the wheat come back around and hurt us. So the dollar probably more susceptible to hurting the wheat. The real probably more susceptible to hurting the beans. And then you have the meal market. You know, you've gone up 60% in 60 days. I cannot find a period where you've done that. And we're not just rationing demand. We're trying to choke it. We're trying to knock it off at the knees right now when it comes to the meal. So that's something we have to be aware of in terms of less eggs, lighter poultry weights, lighter hog weights.
In the meal itself, is this simply an Argentine problem, or is there some other place that we have a supply problem?
Yeah, I think this is mainly an Argentine problem, but I think it's an Argentine problem that's been extended because of the Chinese hog herd being cut by 30% last year and them hitting fresh highs in pork prices. They've eclipsed their five-year highs in pork prices over in China because they're rebuilding their herd and because their stocks are so tight. So there is a window here where they're coming on hard with more factory-type production for pork, and they're going to need more beans to crush. And what we're seeing is that our number two competitor or number one competitor in meal doesn't have the meal to be able to crush. And so I think it came at a very, very good time because the Chinese were just now starting to rebuild their herd. And I think they were really counting on South American beans and Argentine meal especially to be able to take care of themselves.
Mike, it's always good to talk with you on Fridays. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzulow is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Eric Snodgrass from Agribull is now here to take up the weather forecast. Let's start in the central part of the United States. A whole lot of severe weather, Eric, has taken place.
Yeah, this past week has been interesting. You know, we actually have a group of students from the University of Illinois out storm chasing as a part of a class, and they've got to see some pretty incredible weather. So here's what's going on. We have a very large ridge in the jet stream, where we did for most of the week last week, and that's been helping to give us this constant stream of warm, humid, unstable air kind of underneath that ridge straight up through the gut of the United States, right up through the Great Plains. It was a little bit cooler to the west and cooler to the east, but the central U.S. was warm and humid. So we had these frequent kind of small scale features that kind of move through the jet stream, and they help to kind of drive the lift in the atmosphere that's going to help these storms really fire up. And because the atmosphere was so unstable, these storms really blew. Now listen to these stats. Last week, and really Kansas was the epicenter of most of this severe weather, but last week we had 643 reports of hail. Some of those hail reports were the size of grapefruit, and some of those hail reports were only the size of marbles, yet that marble-sized hail was piling up 6, 8, 10 inches on the ground, so really impressive. We also had 132 reports of tornadoes. So this was a very, very active week, and it was capped off with one massive tornado that hit central Kansas, producing EF4 damage. That has wind speeds of 180 miles an hour. Now, that tornado was on the ground for 90 minutes and tracked 26 miles. And just so you have some reference here, a normal tornado is on the ground for only about 10 minutes, tracks about 4 miles, does EF1 damage, which gives you a wind speed of around 110. So this was a really, really powerful, you know, storm system that moved through. And it's trying to get east. That's the big picture for this weekend. So that trough that's been sitting over, in, you know, kind of in the jet stream in the mountains is finally ejected out into the Great Plains. It's producing this large-scale kind of spin, counterclockwise spin in the atmosphere. It's great to watch on radar today. But if you're watching radar, keep an eye on the plains because there's a lot of storm activity today. Texas is getting drenched, and you need to keep watching that radar through the rest of the weekend. And that's because as these systems move through, they're very difficult to predict more than about 12 to maybe 18 hours in advance. So being good at watching radar and looking for the timing of precipitation events is something that I think every producer should get, you know, really, really good at doing. So what are the impacts on ag? Let's talk that. When we look at impacts on ag, it's going to be a nitrogen loss issue, I think mainly for corn in the western parts of the Corn Belt. We're going to have to replant some flooded areas, and some flooded areas will probably actually just not get planted again. So there'll be some loss there. And while the wheat crop is expected to be big, there are some concerns over the quality. So that's kind of a look at what's been going on in the last week or so and what we're looking at coming up.
From time to time, there are shifts in the pattern. Do you see anything that would change in the future?
Yeah, good question here. So we're going to stay with this warm, humid pattern for a little while. But I'm starting to see something showing up, not this weekend, but next weekend, where it looks to be a shift in the pattern where a ridge builds out west, bringing warm conditions there, and a trough tries to build into the east. And this means a cool down for the eastern side of the Corn Belt. We're talking highs maybe in the 70s again, but I'm not thinking this is going to last too long. But I'll tell you, one big picture thing to be thinking about with all of this. Right now, as we go into kind of the heart of the growing season, there is no drought to our west. And that's an important player when we think forward about the weather for the upcoming months.
That's Eric Snodgrass from AgriPulse.